Hey guys, what's going on? Front Row with Jackie Rowe. And you know, I always got some good stuff. First of all, oh my God, I had the most wonderful time in LA. LA is the bomb. Like, I didn't even want to come back. It's just like, it's just a different atmosphere. It's just, you know, even though we are high end with the COVID and everything that's going on, it's just like a sense of peace there to me. Like, I just feel at home when I'm in LA, and I had a wonderful time. You know, shout out to Manny Haley. He made sure his sister was good. I chilled everywhere. I was in Bel Air. I climbed the mountains. I have so much content to post. I stayed at the Beverly Hill Wilshire. I stayed at the Peninsula Hotel. I was all over. I was just having a time of my life. But nothing is more important than sharing content. And right now, I am sitting here with my nephew, my blood nephew, my youngest brother's son, and his name is Amir Alfred Rowe. And we were just talking, and I said, you know what, Amir, it's been a long time waiting, because I've been wanting to get him on this podcast, because Amir has been doing so many great things as far as, you know, his new business and, you know, health issues and little things that he's going through. And I wanted to bring on a young, fresh, innovative mind to my podcast that can talk about the regular things that young kids are going through, but they're not talking about. And he's not young. I mean, he's in the, you know, I ain't gonna call his age out, but you know what I mean? Yeah. But so welcome, guys, to the show, my nephew, Amir. What's going on, Amir?
I'm cooling. How everybody doing?
Yeah. So, Amir, I was just talking. We was just, you know, of course, auntie and nephew having our talks. But then tell them what's going on with you. You know what I mean? Tell them what you have cooking and, you know, let them know. Introduce yourself to my show.
All right. Well, my name is Amir Rowe. I'm doing physical fitness and I'm branding. So I got my whole thing going on with Body by AR. No excuses, just results. I got the website, www.bodybyar.com, and I'm working on that. And I got t-shirts is coming. I got resistance bands, infusion bottles, electric water bottles. I got weight training is coming soon, yoga mats. And yeah, I'm just working on that, merchandising. And I want to put it on a lot of platforms coming soon. It's going to come on the website before the year's out. And I'm trying to work on like a Facebook marketplace and advertisement and on social media and just, you know, just trying to boost the brand up as best as I can.
But that's amazing, first of all, before I even go any further, because I'm going to say that's amazing anyway, because, you know, that's my nephew and I watched him, you know, go through a lot of transitions, you know what I mean, to get where he's at. And now he's doing something that he really likes, because he's always been into the fitness and so forth. But I want you to peel off the layer a little bit, Amir, and tell him a little bit about your steps, you know, before what you were doing. Like, you know, he was one time boxing, of course. And some of his entrepreneurship, he was managing us. Just tell people a little bit about your background, you know what I mean, some of the things that you went through and then the hurdles of it all until why you're here today as far as doing what you're doing that you love and that you're passionate about.
Okay, so yeah, I started off in boxing and I caught a lot of injuries. So that's why I had to stop. And then I just love, like, during the time of the training and everything, I just fell in love with training. And then I always wanted to help people. So it's just like, I always want to help people get in shape in the best condition that they could possibly can. So I've been doing that for a while.
He was trying to help me too. Yes, he had me for a minute. And it's yo, I ain't going to lie. I think I have you on the pod when I said, yo, my nephew is no joke. His first workout day, guys, is no joke. I'm like, God damn, can you take it easy? Yo, it's brutal. But go ahead.
Yeah, so then I started doing that for a while, and then I started getting into management, and I managed the artist OT9 Bino. He's with 800 Foreign Side Records and all that, and I was doing that until probably like 2019.
And also Miss Hustle.
Oh yeah, Miss Hustle as well. Sorry, and we did that in 2019, and then we parted ways in like 2019. But now I've just been like focusing mainly on myself. And trying to just build myself and my brand the best way I can.
Right, you were just recently in the hospital for something that, you know, it blew my mind, because when I called you, you was like, oh, I just came out of surgery. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And it was a back surgery. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I had a slip disc. Well, I have arthritis in my lower back.
So young, like that shit
runs. So it's like I have a lot of pain, and I have like my disc is not in place how they should be, and I have like torn rotator cuffs. I got torn ligaments in my ankle. Like I have a lot of injuries.
Shit.
And then my most recent was what I'm trying to have a surgery for right now is like I have thinning blood, and it's like not my blood is not flowing properly, and it's like it's caused from my varicose veins in my leg.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm so saddened to really hear about all of this stuff. I hope it was getting it loud and clear, because I had it on the wrong side. But yeah, my nephew been through some stuff, you know, and he looks. It's sad because when I hear him talk, it just brings me back to my younger brother, because he looks exactly like my younger brother. He has a brother, and he looks like us on the other side too. But this one here, this nephew here, is the carbon copy of my younger brother, Alfred Rowe. Like, I think they even act alike, if you know what I mean, if I can recollect. But he's been through some stuff. But what are some of the hurdles you feel like young guys go through right now? You know, let's talk about the first thing that you were introduced into the boxing world. Like, pursuing that, you know what I mean? Like, what do you feel like some of the hurdles, like, for any young boxers that's coming up that want to pursue that?
I feel like if whatever you're trying to pursue, you got to go all in. Whatever you want to do in life, and you got to give it your all. And you can't second guess it. And you just got to put the work in. And it's going to be hard and it's going to be tough. But at the end of the day, once you get there, you're going to get to your goals, and you're going to get to whatever you work hard towards, you're going to get there. It's just going to take time, and you really got to put work in, and you really got to be out here 7 days a week. You really got to outwork everybody. If you think somebody working out at this time, mm-hmm. you got to go out an hour before, 2 hours before. You just got to go in. You can't, and if you second guessing yourself, like, did I work hard enough? That means you didn't, and you should just start working harder and pushing yourself to the limit, and then you will get there.
Okay, so what made you, good advice, really great advice too, but did you have any second guesses for you when you were boxing?
I used to second guess my talent all the time. It's just because you just got to just know what you capable of doing and just stick to that. You just can't let everybody get in your ear, and mm-hmm. you just... Because that would cloud everything, and it just make everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to be honest. Remember when you came to me with that? Because I came from the whole boxing thing for 20 years, I really wasn't supportive of it. I kind of got you into the right places, at Gleason's gym, the trainers and whatever. But I'm not going to lie. After watching, you know, Mike for all those years doing that, I just couldn't take another family member going through the same thing. It's a lot. It's like I used to get hurt. My stomach used to just, I would watch him train like I always say. And then, you know, like when it came to that fight night, oh my God. Like, you know, you would think I was a little mouse in the corner because I get so nervous because, you know, it's more to like boxing. Like, you know, one punch, that's it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I've always looked at it that way. So I wasn't supportive in the boxing thing, you know what I mean? But for anybody else that's out there that, you know, want to pursue that, like he said, he gave you great advice for the younger, you know, generations and the younger guys and girls that want to pursue that, that might want to, you know, tap into that world of boxing. Stay focused, keep your eye on the prize, and, you know, like he said, don't let nobody clout your brains with other stuff, you know? And so now...
Because there's always going to be doubters and shit, because mm-hmm. and there's always that... It might not get the full support that you need, but if... This is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody going to come along once they see that everything is flowing. They're going to be like, you feel me? Because I went through that a lot with them in my family. Like, mm-hmm. my mom didn't want me to do it. She didn't care to, like,
support
me and all that. So it's just like, it was just crazy. And then you just feel alone sometimes. And then that's a hard place to be in, because then... Now you just start second guessing yourself even more. Like, should I keep on doing it? Everybody's saying I shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Like, And then that plays a plays a part on you mentally.
Yeah.
And then you got to be strong enough to like say like, oh, this is what I do. This is what I want to do. And I feel like regardless, I overcame through all of that. But then it's like I had the injuries, and then when I had the injuries, it's just like I'm getting older. So I just like.
How old were you then when you were pursuing that?
Probably like 21, 22.
Mm-hmm. And then what made you wanted to do boxing?
I feel like I had a love for it, a passion somehow. I don't know. Maybe it's just by seeing you with mm-hmm. Tyson or something. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like everybody, some way, somehow, everybody that I kind of like, that was in my life growing up, I kind of like took something from them. Like, see with you, how you did the boxing and the management. Mm-hmm. And then how with my stepfather, he did real estate, and I kind of like touched in with the real estate. Mm-hmm. And growing up, my uncle, he was a personal trainer, and I started doing personal training, and that's just like I didn't even know it all came together like that.
You was paying attention though. That's good, because that's one of my biggest thing when I do my podcast. I tell it all the time that people don't pay attention. You know what I mean? If you pay attention, you will get it. You know what I mean? So you were paying attention, and that's good. You dipped into a little bit of what you saw in front of you that kind of empowered you and wanted to be somewhat of that. And mm-hmm. So you pursued it. So that's good. So now let's talk about the management with that. Like, you know, I mean, I was a part of that because I kind of consulted you, curated you through that. Mm-hmm. But just speaking from your own heart and your perspective, what do you see is going on with that whole entertainment industry as far as the music side of things?
I feel like for artists coming up in the game, I feel like everything is, all the information is right there in your mm-hmm. face. You just got to pay attention, and you just got to take the gems that you see and just not overlook them, because it's going to benefit you in the long run. And I feel like everybody just paying attention to the wrong shit. They paying attention to the glitz and the glam, and, mm-hmm. but it's the business part that's going to help you be successful at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. You worrying about that, those little trinkets and all that other shit, dumb shit's don't going to last. That value not going to stand forever. Mm-hmm. And you can't even think that your rent going to last forever. You always got to make room for a rainy day, because rainy mm-hmm. days, they come.
Exactly. And especially those advance money that people get and think they don't never have to give them back, mm-hmm. and not reading the fine-tuned contracts that you get, you know what I mean? Or understanding everything that you don't understand, you need to ask, and always have an attorney, you know what I mean, present. And then making sure that you read over things and don't have anybody push you to sign something. If you don't know something, ask. Study it. Like he said, there's books, there's things online for you to read. There's so much different things. And don't get caught up with the glitz and the glams, like he says.
Yeah, because everything is on Instagram, YouTube, internet, everything. You just got to search for it.
Right.
And you won't get yourself caught up. And then you can see your other peers that's been successful, and they took the independent route, and they, you know, like people like, from my knowledge, like A Boogie, then you got like Chef G, Sleepy Hollow. But they situation, I feel like they know they worth. You just mm-hmm. gotta know your worth, when you gotta bet on yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's how you gonna get the best things out of life.
Right, exactly. And what do you think some of the things that the artists are doing now that you think is just really like doesn't make any sense as far as what they do with their money? Like, I can sit here and talk, but I want a younger perspective. I want somebody else to talk about it. That's a dude that's out there, that's, you know, in that, you know, around it. Like, what is the first thing these artists do that you be like, wow, you know, why do that?
It's like, the first thing is like when I see them run to the jewelry store, buy or spend their money on shit that...
It's just because they're following and because they see everybody on social
media
doing.
That's what they need to do.
There's one rapper the other day, I saw him do something different. I think he took his money. He didn't. I forgot his name. He took his money and flipped it and did something different. He said that he didn't want to be like the rest of the other rappers. He didn't go buy no jewelry. He bought a house and he did some other stuff. Like, he did something really smart. But yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's one of the things. The first thing they do is go buy jewelry.
Because that's what, you feel me? Because we've been down for so long. It's just like, we feel like that's the only way that we could show us success on what we wear and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't got it and we ain't wearing it, they you people looking at us like, oh, he ain't got no money. He ain't successful. He ain't doing it.
Why do you think that? That's another thing that just grosses me out. Like we this perspective.
Everybody feel like everything gotta get shown on Instagram.
Yeah, like Instagram, you know, it's like the showboat.
You ain't got it. Like,
and ain't nobody getting a fucking check from Instagram. That's why I stopped. I was like, oh my God. Like I was really trying to run with fan page because I thought there was a good platform, you know what I'm saying? Because I thought they got out of the whole porno thing. Mm-hmm. And I think when Cardi B got on it, she did something different. You know what I mean? She made like 4 or 5 million in one night just, you know, doing some whatever she was doing. But OnlyFans has a platform. If you post, if you're an artist and you want to post, like, you know, your new video or stuff like that, there's an option for you to get paid from that. And you could do little small chats and stuff like that. But they still haven't worked it out yet because I think some of the people want too much money from the artists. Because I was trying to work with one of this young artists named London Hill to see if that was a good look for her. But they wanted 30% and that was like too much. You know what I mean? But there's options and different things that people can do to get money. Like YouTube is always, to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the artists just thought they... any new coming artist, they should start up a YouTube channel.
Yes.
And help your fans watch you as you go along and shit.
And get paid at the same time.
Exactly. Yes. Stop doing these videos with these, when you do these videos with these big name videographers and shit from the hood or whatever, put that shit on your page. Don't have that shit on their page. Because exactly. When they get the millions of views, you're not getting a penny from that shit. All that shit going to them.
Exactly.
And that don't even make no sense. You got to get all your shit in order.
I don't think a lot of people even understand social media. Because I'm still teaching people every day. If I call out so many people that I've taught, I'm talking about big coon people that have a lot of followers. And a lot of people don't really know how to use their social media platform. I tell people all the time, in every last one of your social media handles, there is a button that has an option for you to send it to YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, whatever you got. There's other names and stuff. One post to one page can go to 5 of your other handles. Now, if you don't do that and you just stuck on one thing, then you're losing because a lot of people don't understand. That's how Cardi B did it. She figured out when she posted on Instagram how to post it to YouTube. How Cardi B got really discovered is because her YouTube got so crazy. Because, you know, her YouTube, every time she posts, it went to YouTube. YouTube built up her following so bananas that you couldn't help but to see the bloggers and everybody on YouTube posting what she posts. You know what I mean? Because it came from Instagram and it went to YouTube. People thought it was on Instagram that got her big. It was YouTube that got her big. You know what I'm saying? So that's another option for people in the industry, so it's music industry.
You gotta stop running towards Instagram, run towards YouTube first, build that first, and then bring that to Instagram with you. Because I seen somebody from YouTube, I think it was like, his name was DDG, and he was saying if he really go hard and he put out content like a good 3 videos a day or some shit, then he can make 6 figures.
Yeah, I was just saying the good content.
You're not doing that on Instagram.
No, you're not getting anything. And I'm not knocking Instagram, but it was a format for me. Why I got on Instagram 2008 or what the hell I got on it, or maybe when it came out, 15 or 16, somewhere around. I'm not even sure because I got on Facebook 2008. That's what it was. Instagram, I must have got on there, 2015 or 16, one of them. And it was introduced, I found it because everybody know I love pictures. I have 1,000,001 pictures. Mm-hmm. And so the photographer that put that together was like, when you traveled and you didn't have the time to stop at a print shop, you can just upload all your pictures to Instagram and just let everybody in your family see all of your stuff that came out of the camera. That's what it was, the digital. That's how Instagram was. It's a photo. It was a photography site. That's what Instagram is. And I loved it, you know what I'm saying? I was having a ball just posting up on myself until the answers came. The answers always come and change shit around with the nigga business, you know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, so people were like, you know, somebody took your picture and put it over there. I said, what? What are you talking about? They said, yeah, your picture's over there. And these people taking my pictures and telling my story like I'm not even here, like I don't even exist. You know, I went berserk. I went ham. I'm like, yo, who are you? Like, what are you doing? You know that's my picture, right? Oh, okay. So then I have to go now, figure out how to trademark, watermark my pictures and all that stuff. And it's just like, it's cool because you feel like you're telling the story, you're doing something. But at the end of the day, I'm like, for what? I'm not getting anything from nobody. Mm-hmm. First of all the things that I do that I think is empowering and motivating, I think people want to hear about, it's not an interest. Like, I'm a domestic violence advocate. I feel like I did a lot, but all the other stuff, everybody that knows me know I came through this tunnel like it was nothing. With the lights on and off, I went through everything from event planning to management to promotion to all kind. I did it all. You know what I'm saying? So consulting is where I'm at right now, and I'm passionate about domestic violence. And nobody seems to want to talk about that. Nobody seems to, care about that until it hits home. Yeah, so, fine. I'm not going to keep posting pictures of me. I'm an older woman. I'm an old lady, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is it that y'all want from me? I need to be trying to show y'all something that is not being talked about. And every time you pull out something from underneath the rug, nobody wants to hear, because everybody want to keep everything quiet. Nobody want, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Oh, fuck that. That shit, somebody beating up somebody. Oh, good for that. But no, it's not, because your aunt and your grandmother and somebody assisting your family is something that's real. It's just like as bad as cancer. It kills 1.5 million women, a yearly, and it kills every second a woman is being, domestically abused. So when I talk about shit like that, nobody wants to hear about it. If I talk about my business aspect about it, I'm a consultant. Nobody, people just want to see you fronting, like putting up the new Balenciaga, the new bag, and this and that. I ain't with all of that shit. Maybe for some other people, that's cool, but you got to find something that is paying you. Like, when I first got it, when people used to send me friend requests, I used to inbox and say, like, how you doing? Thanks for the request. What kind of business you in? I would be inside my inbox interrogating them, interviewing them, asking them what type of business you were, because I want to know why you sent me a friend request. What can we do together? It just went from left to left. The energy of every minute asking people why you sent, because you just want to be nosy. You just want to see what I'm doing. Like, I was looking for business partners and business deals from Instagram, just like I came from MySpace and Facebook to find these options of, optional people to be able to work with. But it just comes from everyday posting to now I don't even post on my thing. I post in my story. And then I started saying, why am I posting in my story? Like, why? These people like working me. I feel like a whore, like I'm being pimped. Because every minute I got to be posting shit to show somebody something. I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? Every now and then it's cool to share, but what's at the end of this? No money, nothing for me. You know what I mean? Yeah, to keep my loyal fans that follow me, I appreciate each and every one of y'all. But you know what I mean? I really want y'all to tell me, what is it that y'all want to see me do more of? What is it y'all want to see me do? What is it that y'all want to get from me? I'd rather have that. Maybe I start doing a question thing, ask the thing. I'm going to start doing that too. This little girl told me to do that. But yeah. So for the most part, social media is good, but it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And you need to know what you want people to know about you in order for you to start getting revenue.
You gotta monetize your popularity.
Exactly. Yeah. So
makes sense.
Yeah. So now you're at where you love. You're at the point of your health, because you always love to work out. You always do. So tell them more about, Body by Amir, where to get in touch with you from. And if there's anything else you want to say to the audience, I'm just glad that I have my nephew here finally getting to talk to him. I've been telling him I want him on my podcast. But, I hope it's inspiring for someone, because I just want to say, he never stops. He heard him. He got all kinds of things going on, illness, stuff that's going on, but he's never stopping.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. You can't quit.
Right.
You can't quit. If you believe in what you believe in, then you can't quit. If you believe in what you believe in, you can't quit. You got to never give up in what you believe in, and you always got to fight. And then at the end of the day, if people thinking, like, whatever you want to do in life, I feel like the universe is always going to provide a way for you. As long as you, because if you visualize it and you work it, you visualizing it is going to manifest for you, because you visualize it and you work towards it, so you're going to see it every day. You're going to see it more and more, clearer and clearer, and you're going to imagine yourself in that position. And even if it's coming with, if it costs to get to that way, if you working towards it and you don't know where that money coming from, that money going to come once you start putting that work in. Once you got a dream and you believe in something and you working towards it, the universe will manifest anything that you need to have, and you will have that.
Laws of attraction.
Yeah, and you really got to believe in that, because that's the truth. If you really take time, I realized the law of attraction when I was a little kid. And then I'm using it more as I grow, because I I realized how it worked when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I seen, like, and then write your goals out. I got my goals written out on water bottles. So I'm like subconsciously, consciously noticing that. And then it's like trying to reprogram my mindset. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of shit. And then you always got to surround yourself with positivity and positive people. And people, like-minded people, to get where you want to get.
Exactly. And right now, tell him what you over here, because I'm telling you, see, he practiced what he preached, because he's over here, and I'm looking, he got a big bag of almonds, and what's that?
Walnuts,
and what's that thing you was drinking?
Boathouse is a green juice.
Yeah, I mean, eating healthy. Tell him how to get in touch with you again, just like,
you can get in touch with me on my Instagram, Body by ARLOC, or you can get in touch with me on my website. It's www.bodybyar.com, and merchandise is coming soon. Everything is gonna be.
And you're on Facebook too, right?
Facebook, Body by ARLOC.
Yeah, and you're personal trainer.
I do personal training as well, and sessions will be available in the top of the quarter, starting first quarter January. So I'll be back out there, but due to the COVID. I know it's hard and tricky, but
you could do it online.
We could do it online.
You could do Zoom online, because I remember I was to tell you we could FaceTime me to get me workout. You could do that too. That you need to start pushing that.
Yeah, I gotta start that.
Yeah. So you heard it, guys. Front Row with Jackie Rowe with my nephew, Amir Alfred Rowe. Okay? So get at him, and I hope this podcast was very inspiring for all the young ones out there. We tried to touch on a few things so you guys could, be innovated and motivated to don't stop. Even though you're going through this COVID time, what have you, just keep it moving. All right. Your girl love you. Always do something nice for yourself. Be good to yourself. Love yourself. Treat yourself nice. But more importantly, stay safe and wrap up. Okay, and I hope everybody just understand that this too shall pass. All right, thank you.